Get your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we're going to read verses 11 through 27. So get your Bibles out. This is the last of the parables that we're going to cover. And then Brother Josh will be preaching next Wednesday and the following Sunday. When I get back, we're going to start a series on Elijah and Elisha. And you're going to enjoy this. It's exciting. I'm having fun with it already. Luke chapter 19, look at verse number 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Kind of sounds like America with Biden. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that they might that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Some of us have that problem too, don't we? And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that which layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not thy money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him that the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, if you'll stay with me here, keep your Bibles open. In the first 10 verses or so, it's a familiar story of a man named Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Anyway, Jesus had just had a public meeting with this man named Zacchaeus. And honestly, the people were shocked that Jesus would take time to spend time with a man named Zacchaeus. He was a rough man. He was somewhat of a wicked man. And they began to backbite and talk about Jesus a little bit. And by the way, isn't it amazing how when Jesus meets up with somebody, their life and eternity has changed? Their opinions of why Jesus should not do what he had done are being thrown about. And Jesus says, all right. And he starts speaking this parable unto them. Can I tell you something? You have to understand something. The religious world wants man to be righteous himself. God wants us to trust him for righteousness. So many times we want to clean ourselves up and say, God, look at me. No, it's by grace do you clean yourself up. I've been helping a church trying to find a pastor, and fortunately they've been running their resumes through me. And they sent me a couple, and I emailed back or texted back to the deacon chairman, and I said, this one has bad doctrine. This one has bad doctrine. This one has bad doctrine. And one morning he texted me, he said, preacher, he said, I've been awake all night long. He said, can you show me what bad doctrine there is? Because it bothered me that it got through me. And I did. One of the resumes said, I got saved several times as a kid, but there was no change, and I didn't have a change of life, and I didn't have this, and I didn't have that. I didn't have any proof that I was saved. I thought, so I highlighted it, took a picture of it, and sent it to him. He said, wow, it's right there, isn't it? I said, sure is. Another one, I won't even go into all of it, but he said that he believed that in the will of the Christian to decide what is right and wrong, and we would change methods based on the culture of the day. I highlighted that, and I said, that's a wolf in sheep's clothing telling you that you're going to be a community church in 5 years. That was just a little on that one. He said, man, am I glad I called you. I said, so am I. For your church's sake and for your family's sake, so am I. Folks, I live with right doctrine. I live in the doctrines of this book, and when I see bad doctrine, it screams at me, and it makes me angry, just so you know. But may I say something? I don't think man has to be righteous of his own. He needs to be righteous by Jesus Christ. Say, well, I know somebody in your church, preacher, that's not everything they say they are. Yeah, me and you. None of us are what we think we are. We're all sinners. That's all we are. Now, let me give you the parable. Remember, a parable is a story that teaches the truth. The story isn't the issue. The truth is. Too many preachers get hung up on the story and not the truth. We're going to get hung up on the truth, not the story, but let me give you the story, the illustration, then I'll teach you the truths tonight. You ready? A nobleman gets word of a country being given to him, but it's pretty far away. He puts 10 men in charge, and he keeps his current kingdom going. He said, look, you 10 men, do what I do while I'm gone. Occupy here. And you stay here, keeping it going while I'm gone, and I'll return. Well, the Bible says that Jesus in the story said that some of the citizens of the land said, look, we didn't like him anyway. We don't want him to come back. We like you better as leaders, and we didn't like him, so just tell him not to come back. Boy, that's dangerous, isn't it? Now, after a long time, the Bible says, and it doesn't say how long, it doesn't matter how long, but after a period of time, he returns home from settling the new kingdom and comes back to see how things are going in the first kingdom. He calls those 10 leaders together and he says, look, I gave each one of you a pound. It was a measurement of money, so to speak. And by the way, usually it'd be similar to a pound of gold or something like that. He had given each one of them, and by that was approximately a year's salary. Let's say an average year salary in America would be, I'm guessing, $60,000 or $70,000. Let's say it's $50,000. Imagine somebody giving you $50,000 and say, okay, use this, make money on it, and when I come back, I want to see what you've done with it. And that's basically what he had done. The first one steps up and says, Master, he said, you gave me 1 pound. He said, here's 11 pounds. I have the original one, and I made 10 more by it. Can you imagine making 10 times your salary? That's a feller that's got some goods going there. That's a feller that's got some hoopspaw making some things happen. And he said, well done. He said, because I gave you a little bit, I'm going to give you 10 cities that you'll be in charge of. You'll be able to run 10 cities. Now, I don't know about you. That's, to me, I'm not sure that's a promotion. That sounds like more work to me. But he gave him 10 cities. A second man steps up and says, well, I didn't do as well as him, but here's my first one and 5 more. I made 5 on the one that you gave me. He said, well done. He said, just like the other fella, I'll give you 5 cities, 1 for each of those pounds that you had gained while you were while I was gone. He goes to the next one. He said, how'd it go for you? And the man pulls out a napkin, opens it up, and puts that 1 pound back. He said, okay, where's the rest? He said, that's it. He said, sir, he said, I knew you were a, a hard man. I know that you make money at no matter what you do. And he said, I was afraid to lose any of it, so I just hid it at home. And he begins to go off on this wicked servant, and he says, look, you could have put it in the bank and just got simple interest on it. He said, you didn't even put it in the bank and get, you know, 0.5% on it. He said, you didn't make any money at all. You just let it sit there doing nothing. And he said, well, I know your heart, and I didn't want to lose anything, so I just was afraid and I didn't do anything. Verse 25. They said unto him, well, look at verse 24. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. He said, look, you're not worthy of it. He said, take that 1 pound and give it to that feller over there that just made 10 pounds on it. You say, well, that doesn't sound fair, preacher. Hang on. Verse 25. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Why do you want to give it to him? For I say unto you, verse 26, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. He said, look, those that have something, I'm going to give them more because they've been making something on it. Those of you that aren't doing anything, I'm going to take what you have away. You're a waste of my investment. Now, Jesus then goes into a truth about this. By the way, I want to teach you the truth of this. Smile. It's not going to hurt that bad. It's not going to be like Sunday night sermon, all right? Some of you are still broken over that one, all right? Hang on. Number one, God gives you what you use or what you obey with. God gives you what you use or what you obey with. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 26. He talks about giving the man that had 10 pounds the other pound, correct? And he says, for I say unto you that unto every one of you which shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that shall he be taken away from him. He said, look, what you have, I'll give you more of. Take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 2. Let me show you how God works things here. Daniel chapter 2, look at verse number 21. Daniel chapter 2, look at verse number 21. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Notice what God says here. He gives wisdom to the wise. He gives knowledge to those that have understanding. It doesn't say he gives wisdom to fools. God says, I'll give wisdom to those who use the wisdom they have. And because they're using wisdom, I can give them more wisdom. And those that have understanding, I can give more knowledge, watch this, because they're using the knowledge they have, and I can give them more knowledge. Everybody look at me for a second. This church is different. Can I tell you why? This isn't a college class to entertain your brain and to tickle your brain. We're not going to put fancy outlines on a screen somewhere and teach you the word of God verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, and go through long, laborious, exegetical prosecutions of the scriptures. You say, why, preacher? Could you do that? I could, but it doesn't do anything for you. It's all it does is bring knowledge to you. You don't use it. See, preaching is there to give you knowledge, to kick you in the seat of the backside, to go out and use it so you can come back and get another truth. Truth is there as a greasy wrench. It's not there as a diploma on the wall. Everybody doing okay? God said he'd give wisdom to the wise. He'd give knowledge to those that have understanding. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's right after the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, James. James chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. I'm sorry, look at verse number 6. James chapter 4, verse number 6. Now watch this. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. How do you get grace? By being humble, correct? But notice he says, I'll give you more grace. As you use the grace of God, God says, I'll give you more grace. He says, if you want wisdom, use your wisdom. If you want knowledge, use your understanding. So God gives us that which we obey or that which we use. You say, why? God gives grace to the humble. By the way, you say, how do we give grace? For by grace are you saved through faith. You want the grace of God? Go give it to somebody else. And as you give it to somebody else, when you need more, God says, I've got grace in store for you. And as you give it more, God gives you more grace. As you give it more, God gives you more grace. Boy, that's good stuff. God does not want to waste what he gives on those who will not use it. God has no plans of wasting what he has available to us to those who will not use it. That's good stuff right there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You think God's a worse businessman than any human being? Let me ask you a question. How many poor people employ somebody? It takes somebody with means to employ somebody. If you don't have something to pay someone with, guess what? You can't employ them. So if you can't afford to employ somebody, you have to be employed or depend on the government. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Let a man so account of us. Now look at me, that word account. Sound familiar? Sound like a financial term? Have you ever heard of an accountant? Somebody who takes careful note of the money? Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God then says a steward, a servant, a worker must be faithful. Do you know what God will give you if you work and show up all the time and keep working and keep being faithful? God will give you more faith and God will give you more things to your account. Did you know if you just show up to work, you can probably move up? You go anywhere in this county right now and you could get a job if you want it. People get a job and they won't even show up, or they'll show up one day and never come back. There's places closing down 1 and 2 days a week because they can't get employees to work. Say, why is that? Because we've got people dependent on government, not work. Look at Luke chapter 12. We were in Luke chapter 19, but go to Luke chapter 12. Look at verse number 42. And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward to whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of the meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Can I tell you something? You don't hire somebody that tells you they can do something. Hire somebody that's doing something. I've worked with a lot of Bible college students. I've worked in job placement for Bible college students into the ministry. I would have potential employers call me and say, "How is this person?" And I would pull their records and say, "Well, they don't turn in their reports regularly. They don't show up to their meetings regularly. They almost over-absence their classes every semester. I wouldn't hire him. He doesn't show up." You say, "Preacher, you said that?" Yep. I'm not going to lie. It's my name on the line. Right. I'm going to be honest with somebody. There's others, they show up to everything, and I'll say, they may not be everything right now that you want them to be, but they show up every time they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to be, and they're teachable enough, they'll learn it. I said, not to hire a guy like that over a guy that's got talent any day. Guy that's got talent's going to sit there and show up when he wants to, when he feels good. When he's got 102 fever and doesn't feel good, he's going to call in and say, "I'm going to take the week off." And the other guy's going to crawl in saying, "I'm here, boss." Which one do you want? Now, God does not want to give us that which will cause us destruction by pride. If we're not careful, okay, look how proud and arrogant those who don't work but are making a living are. Did I say that nicely enough? Look at the arrogance. I read the news this morning, part of the news, and there's a news anchor. I forget what, I think it was in California somewhere. They have on video a guy robbing a store. And the news anchor said, "Well, he must have needed those things. They should have let him go." Folks, I remember finding a dollar bill on the parking lot, and my dad walking me back in the store, taking it to the customer service desk and turning it in. I said, "But Dad, it's only a dollar." He said, "It's somebody else's. It's not yours. You pick it up and take it home. You're stealing." Aren't you glad my dad wasn't your dad? There was times he wished I wasn't his son too, I'm sure, but... You know, God doesn't want to give us that which is going to destroy us by our own pride. So he's not going to endow you with a bunch of wisdom and allow it to go to your head and destroy you until you start using wisdom you have. Everybody doing okay? God does not want to give us a new car when we run out of gas. What does he do? He gives you the wherewithal to fill up the gas tank. Is that not what happens? You go buy a new car and you run that tank of gas out. Do you park it, sell it, and go buy another car? No. You go to the gas station and put gas in it, right? Guess what? That's what God's talking about here. He gives wisdom to those who use their wisdom, start running out, and he says, "Come back to the station and I'll fill it back up." And you use it and you come back to the station and God fills it back up. And you use it and God fills it back up. God gives knowledge to those that use their understanding. And as you use that understanding, God fills it back up with knowledge. That's why in the book of 1 Corinthians it says knowledge puffeth up. You got a bunch of college professors and highly educated idiots who don't know their head from a hole in the ground. "Well, I have many degrees." Well, you got more degrees than you got temperature because you're dead. I've listened to a lot of smart people that are pretty stupid, like Dr. Fauci. Like Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer. A lot of smart people that don't have much sense. Everybody doing okay? Or AOC. I'm not even sure she would qualify as smart. Our obedience to truth opens up blessings for the refilling of that truth. Do you want to learn this Bible more? Can I tell you how to learn it more? Once you learn something, do it, and then God will teach you more. As you begin doing it, God teaches you more because you're using what you do know. Tithing. Doesn't make sense at first. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't make sense to give 10% of your income to God, and that you could live better on 10% than you could not living on 10%. But I'm here to shout, you can live better tithing than you can not tithing. Right. And I'll get into that in a little while here. Did you know? Well, preacher, I just struggle with my faith. I struggle knowing, having that confidence about my faith. If you'll go soul winning and tell somebody else how to get saved, your strength in your own knowledge of salvation will grow, and you'll never doubt your salvation ever again. Can I tell you the best way to quit doubting your salvation? Go soul winning and win somebody to Christ. That will change your faith. And the more you do it, the more excited you get about it, the more excited you get about it, the more you do it, and the more you do it, the more God gives you confidence in what you do. Boy, that's good stuff. So God gives us what we use. God gives us what we obey. May I use the analogy, God, as you use the tank up, God fills it again. But if you never use it, he can't fill it up. You buy a brand new car, fill it with gas, park it in the garage. I don't care how many cans of gas you bring and put in, you're just filling it all over the car, aren't you? If you never start it and never use that vehicle, what good is having a garage full of gas? That's the average church in America today. They got cars sitting in a garage full of gas and it's going nowhere. God says, open the door, drive it out, empty it out, bring it back, and let's fill it up. Number two, I got to hurry. God takes from those who do not use what he has given them. Let me say that again. God takes from those who do not use what he has given them. Look at verse 26 again. Luke 19, verse 26. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now, look at me. This isn't talking about salvation. If you get saved and don't use it, God doesn't take your salvation away. You can't be unborn. That's called dying. But there are, God says he gives us things. But if we don't use them, he will take it away and give it to somebody else that is using it. Let me show you what I mean. If we don't obey in tithing, and I'm not here, it's just an easy one to use. God says if you tithe, he will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and he will rebuke the devourer, correct? So that means if you don't obey and you don't tithe, he won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and the devourer will come. I'm not saying God gets your tithe. What I'm saying is what you would have given in tithe, it's going to go out because God's not going to prevent it from going out. I don't think God says, all right, they didn't tithe. I'm going to take that money and I'm going to get them in a car accident and they're going to be paying on it for 6 months. I don't think God does that kind of mess. But what he does, those that tithe, he rebukes the devourer and says, leave them alone. And instead of that car breaking down, it keeps going a little while longer. Or instead of having to spend $50 on something, you got it on sale for $19.99. And you saved a bunch of it. I believe that's what God's talking about there. He rebukes the devourer. You say, what happens? When you don't obey, he does not rebuke the devourer. When you don't obey, he doesn't pour you out a blessing. God's not a welfare socialist. God doesn't believe everybody ought to have the same thing. Neither should America. God expects a little return on his investment. Let me say that again. God expects a little return on the investment in your eternal life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody doing okay? I love you. I'm having fun right now. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Everybody agree in that?
Amen.
And that not yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know those verses, don't we? How about verse number 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God says you don't work to get saved, but after you get saved, I expect something out of you. And if you don't, I'm not taking eternal life, but I'll take the reward of what you would have gotten had you worked for me, and I'm going to take it away and give it to somebody working. Did it not say we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works? You don't get saved by doing good works, but once you get saved, he wants us to do good works so that he can bless us. Boy, that's good stuff. Turn to Psalm 35. You want a verse to memorize? You want a verse to encourage you? Turn to Psalm 35. I don't believe God wants every Christian, dirt poor, in the mully grubs, in debt, over their head, can't pay their bills, and say, well, that's just the way it is with being a Christian. Look at Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, watch this, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God's pleased in a Dr. Russell Anderson. Say why? He's pleased because there is a prosperous servant who gave back to God and God kept blessing it. And the more God blessed, the more he gave. And God rejoices in the prosperity of those who obey him. Can I tell you something? God wants some return on you. You want to make God happy? Do what he told you to do. Then he can bless you. He'll be happy with you. You'll do more and he'll bless you more. It's that simple. We shouldn't envy the lost people who prosper and think it's unfair.
Right.
Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Well, preacher, it's not fair. There's lost people out there. They're wicked and they live a whole lot better and so and so. And this person's got problems and that person's got problems. Can I tell you something? Some people in the world, you only see what they want you to see. Mm-hmm. Look at Psalm 73. Start reading in verse number 3. And I've got to read a fairly long passage here. I'm almost done, so don't worry. Look at verse number 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Sound like some complaints you've heard or said? Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. Kind of like a Jeff Bezos or a Warren Buffett. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Who's the guy from Microsoft? Bill Gates, yeah. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk throughout the earth. That's Pelosi. Therefore, his people return from hither. The waters of full cup are wrung out to them. They say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. In other words, why does it pay me to live right? They have all the money and I don't have much. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And when I thought to know of this, it was too painful for me. Watch this. until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into the desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed as terrors. Guess what? Sometimes all the wicked people will ever get in eternity is what they get here. Let's quit being so fleshly as... I hate saying it this way. Why is it we Christians look around and think the only life that's going to be lived in prosperity is the one here? When we start complaining about the Bill Gateses and the Buffetts and the Bezoses and all the other wealthy people that live wickedly, just realize when they die, they're going to probably die and go to hell. The only good they'll ever have in eternity is what they got here, and it's only buying them a tougher eternity. Maybe we ought to pity them and not want what they have. Maybe we ought to realize what we do, it may not prosper us here. But not a one of them is going to have a mansion like you're going to have in heaven if you're saved. Not a one of them is going to walk streets of gold, nor do they have streets of gold here on earth. They might have a gold toilet, but they're not going to have a gold street. I'll trade a street for a toilet any day, amen? Now, a Christian who only learns for self is worthless to God. I'm not the greatest Bible teacher. You're right. But I'm going to show you how to use the truth and take it out there and expect you to use it. And if you'll use it, you'll learn more truth. Preacher, how do you learn the Bible so much? I teach it. I preach it. I use it. And the more you use it, and the more you teach it, and the more you live it, the more God gives you. Amen. So, we said number one, God gives you what you use or obey. Number two, God takes from those who do not have, or who have not used it, and give it to others. If I don't use what God gave me, he's going to use it to help somebody else. If you don't use what God's given you, he will take it from you and give it to somebody else. I know preachers making a lot of money selling insurance, and they quit the ministry to sell insurance. They're making a lot of money, but they're not having a good eternity. I know preachers who gave up their churches to get involved in politics. I'm not against preachers getting involved in politics necessarily, but what I'm saying is don't quit your church to go get involved in politics. Church work's more important than politics. Everybody doing okay? You're not supposed to hoard what God gives you. You're supposed to use it. You're not supposed to fill the tank and let it and say, I got a full tank. Okay, go use it. And then pull back into the station and let God fill her back up. Number three, and I'll go quickly. Verse 27. Luke 19, verse 27. And I promise I'll finish in the next 5 minutes. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Listen to this statement. God will destroy his enemies. God will destroy his enemies. Those who rebelled and would not follow the leader were to be slain. One day, those who reject God will face an eternal death. You don't have to condemn them. They're condemned already. John chapter 3. They're condemned already. Quit fighting them. How about you start using the truth you know? Love your enemy. Love your enemy. I've had I don't know that it's a privilege. I've had the opportunity of having enemies in my life. I've had the honor to win some of them back as friends. Do you know that just this week, I had to defend a former enemy of mine? Somebody went to attack that enemy, and I said, I pray for him. Shut him right down. He said, well, I think that, I said, oh, I don't want to hear it. I pray for him. Say why? They can hate me all they want. I'm not their enemy. And as long as they're saved, they're not supposed to be an enemy of God, and let's get them back. Did you know those who aren't saved, the God haters, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Shintus, the Voodoos, the Hutus and the Tutsis and all the others are there? If they reject God, by the way, all those are real people groups. But did you know that if they reject God, one day God will slay them? I don't know about you. I don't want anybody dying and going to hell. I preached hard enough Sunday about hell. Why would I want anybody to go there? Let me finish with this statement. God does not want our lives here wasted only on this life. God's teaching us here, he doesn't want you to waste your life only on this life. Christian, can I tell you something about your life, life's goals? Look up. Don't look out, look up. We're to use this life as an investment for eternity. God gave us everything we have. If we'll start using it, he'll give us more. Guess what? That gives us more later. I might not have a lot of money in the bank, but my retirement benefits are out of this world. Say, where are they, preacher? Up. I don't have to have a lot by man's standards. As long as I'm doing what God says, he'll meet my needs. I think we ought to put some money away. I think we ought to be ready for the older years and those retiring years and things. I understand that. But may I say something? Some are so set on a certain number, and the economy's changing so fast, we don't know what's out there. How about we just work to please God? Let's not be an enemy to our enemies. Let's be a prosperous servant to our God. Those who do not, and those who reject God, God has hell waiting for them. I don't know about you. I don't like that parable. But I need it. I'd like to be a prosperous servant in the hand of our God. How about you? Are we looking too much at this world? Are we too worried about how we appear? God gives wisdom to the wise. He gives knowledge to those that have understanding. He gives faith to those that have faith. He gives grace to those that have grace. God gives you what you have, and as you use it, he'll fill it back up. And if you don't use it, he's going to take it away and give it to somebody else. And those who reject God, they got a bad retirement. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You say, preacher, that's a kind of a tough parable. Yeah, it is. And he was rebuking people because of how he handled a man named Zacchaeus. They criticized him. By the way, those are the same people that wanted to crucify him not long thereafter.